Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday, y'all. Welcome to hour number two. We're going to get you all the way to go home time on the Friday afternoon. In the meantime, though, we're going to continue this conversation about the indictment that was just handed down from a grand jury in the Eastern District of Virginia against former FBI Director James Comey. And we spent some time talking about it here. But he's facing two counts right now, false statements and obstructing congressional proceedings. I think it's 18 U.S.C. Section 1001. But the reality is, the interesting thing is this: one of these charges is the exact same charge he helped conjure up against General Michael Flynn. Let that sink in. Karma. Courtroom karma, I'm calling it. In the meantime, though, let me bring in somebody who knows all about courtrooms. Jay Towne is a former U.S. attorney appointed by Trump, and he's also now one of the principals at Radiance Technologies. Jay has also got a long career as a prosecutor, not only a U.S. attorney, but a prosecutor otherwise, and a military JAG officer in the Marine Corps, and he's on the line right now. Jay Towne, how you doing, buddy?
My man, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. all right, so give me your thoughts, dude. Unvarnished opinion, indictment. What do you think?
So, people need to understand a couple of things. First of all, 18 U.S.C. 1001 is not a particularly novel charge. Essentially, it just means you lied to authorities or you lied to Congress, right? Some agency during the course of their duties, their official duties, which certainly sitting in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee on September 30th, 2020, that's an official duty of the Congress. So there's nothing novel about it. And then as far as the obstruction goes, which I think is the more serious of the two charges, the obstruction is not just, I mean, you tell a lie to obstruct or impede an investigation. That's essentially what the obstruction charge means under the federal code. The problem Comey has is the evidence in this case will not just include, they're not just going to run a tape of his testimony before the Judiciary Committee from 2020. They are going to be able to go all the way back to 2016 and use the comments that Comey was making. And the reason why about the Russiagate hoax, because it'll fully inform and contextualize his testimony in 2020. And there was a great deal of prevarication in that testimony. I stand by my previous testimony was his answer several times to Senator Cruz, for instance. Well, then you got to go back to that previous testimony in the context of that. And so it really will be an interesting sort of dragnet of Comey's own words. And remember, this guy couldn't shut up.
Yeah.
From the moment he got fired, he couldn't shut up. He's written, I don't know how many books now, done 1,000 interviews. He's always the smartest guy in the room. Just ask him. And in my opinion, the worst FBI director, perhaps in history, but certainly has done more damage to the Bureau than any in my lifetime. And Chris Wray was paying the bar tab for Jim Comey for the entirety of his tenure, and now Kash Patel's trying to clean it up even further. So he's got some serious legal problems here because neither one of these cases are terribly difficult to prove.
What, you know, and I noticed it was a fairly narrowly construed indictment. It wasn't like a broad shotgun blast of anything and everything under the sun. They've got two counts. They basically narrowed it down and said two counts. This is what he did. What are your thoughts on that level of indictment?
So they actually tried for a third count, as far as we know, only three, and the grand jury declined or no-billed that third count. Now, that might signal to some folks, well, this must be entirely a weak case. No. What it says to me in deep blue Alexandria, Virginia, is that this was actually a very thoughtful grand jury because they still came back with a true bill, an indictment on two of the three counts. They just didn't like the third one for whatever reason. All right, fine. Grand juries do that all the time. That's not uncommon. And so this grand jury gave it a lot of thought. They knew who they were indicting. They knew what this meant for, you know, publicity and the office. And they very thoughtfully came back with this two-count indictment. And again, this is not like a OJ trial. This is 2 weeks tops, maybe a week. If I was trying, it'd be a day and a half.
No kidding. Well, so let me ask you this. I got a couple more questions on it. What do you know about potential sentencing? Let's say they find him guilty. What's he facing?
Mm-hmm. Well, Roger Stone did what? He got sentenced to what, 4 years?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It was right. The same charges, right?
Yeah, General Flynn was gonna serve time. A number of people. Remember, I'm old enough to remember when people just didn't comply with a congressional subpoena, much less lie to them.
Yeah,
and they did time, right? So these are jailable offenses, and you know he was appearing, at least in 16, and that's the testimony that he's referencing in 2020, in 16 and 17. He was the FBI director in March of 2017 still. He was representing the Bureau. He was the chief law enforcement officer for the FBI. And so, you know, it'll be interesting. And we don't know a lot from the indictment, by the way. We're speculating about which false statements he made or which statements were false in that September 30th testimony. We think we know. We think it's the stuff with Ted Cruz. But the indictment doesn't tell us, and we haven't seen all the evidence that the government has. I can bet you, though, Phil, that there are several people that used to be in Comey's circle, like an Andy McCabe or a Jim Baker, who was the chief counsel for the FBI. These individuals, I'm wondering which one is going to testify against Comey first.
Well, that was my question. My next question was, Jonathan Turley did a write-up on this, and he said that one of the most interesting dynamics of this is that even though all of them hate Trump, Andrew McCabe and Jim Baker are in the position right now of, despite having been close associates of Comey, they've said openly that they felt like they were, you know, told to go ahead and leak information or make statements. And so it's going to be their word against his word, and yet they're all allegedly close associates. So this is going to be one of those like, oh my gosh, who's lying now?
Right. And Comey has been asked in several interviews, which could be evidence too, about those statements that Baker and McCabe have made. And Comey never expected to be in this position. And so, you know, he would just say simply, you know, I remember it differently or whatever. It wasn't sometimes it was, no, that's not what happened. But again, that typical Comey, John Brennan, Clapper prevarication of, maybe, maybe not, or I'll be cute with my words. I'll say that the CIA did never assess, and that way I'm not suggesting that I had any involvement in this at all. It was this huge, swath of 20,000 employees that assessed it, not me. You can't blame all of us. So it's just little things like that that are actually going to be haunting in trying to defend James Comey for whoever his defense lawyers are. I'm sure I'll know who his defense lawyers are, and I'm sure they're very qualified people. But I think it's a much tougher case than Jake Tapper and, MSNBC, pick a host would like to believe.
Yeah. So you mentioned something though, that was going to be one of my last questions for you was the fallout. I think the statute of limitations on these charges was going to run out next Tuesday. There is some speculation that there are others though, that are being investigated that could be under a similar statute of limitations. John Bolton, John Brennan, we hear they're under criminal investigation right now. Do you expect there to be more indictments handed down within the same framework?
So two things I want to say about this. The answer is yes, I do expect Bolton especially. We just saw recently a search of his home and his office.
Yeah.
Brennan testified, I believe it was 22 or 23. So I don't think, and that testimony is much the same as his previous testimony that would be up against the statute. So I don't know that's necessarily going to be statute limited. But the declination memo, this is how we learned that Comey, 48 hours before Comey was indicted, we learned on NBC News that, Comey's indictment is imminent. Well, the reason that was is because there's in you every U.S. attorney when in their office, the AUSAs will write a prosecution memo or a declination memo. We're going to prosecute the guy or we're going to decline to prosecute the guy. And the declination memo, the contents of it haven't been leaked, but the fact that one existed and that the previous U.S. attorney and then the new one were both briefed on it, and at least one or both of them disagreed with it, so they decided to go to the media about that. One, that's a crime, leak of 6E information about anybody, even pending charges for a grand jury, is contemptuous of court and a crime under the federal criminal code and the rules of court. And so that's A, but B, it was really meant to undermine this new U.S. attorney and the Department of Justice. This new U.S. attorney is not going to walk this case into court. It's going to be done by the professionals at EDBA who have an army of lawyers, prosecutors there, or folks from DOJ or a combination of the two. But it's very troublesome to me that the AUSAs in that office, if you don't believe that the DOJ was a member of the deep state, if you don't believe that they had been infected by impolitics, and that's why you saw all these firings when Emil Bove and Todd Blanche and Pam were getting in there, then you don't understand the reality of this particular agency. To have a bunch of kids come up to a presidentially appointed person and then leak their thoughts on the matter to the media just to scuff them up, that's the type of disgusting behavior that should be fireable, could be prosecutable.
Well, more to come on that, I'm sure, because the current mode right now within the Trump DOJ, like you said, is to lop off heads, and leakers are no longer considered to be just go ahead and put it on fair notice. D.C., you just saw a leaker and a liar mm-hmm. indicted, and I think that D.C. is on eggshells right now, walking on eggshells. That's what I hope.
The find out phase has begun.
It has. Yep. It has indeed. Mm-hmm. I'll say the clean way, fool around, find out. That's what I'll say on the air. But yeah,
there you go. I can cost you $1,000 no SEC fine if you want me to say the whole thing.
We got a red button right here with your name on it if you do that. So, all right, Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, appreciate your thoughts and insights as always. Spot on, and we'll have you back on if something develops, man.
Best to you, Phil. Thank you. Have a great weekend, everybody.
We're taking a break right now, but there you go. I mean, you're hearing the scoop. This is the way it's looking right now. Leakers and liars are suddenly on notice. And Washington, D.C. is made clear there's a new sheriff in town. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.